Okay, first and foremost, thank you to Kayla and Daniel for opening their home again. It's very nice. I'm glad. I hope this becomes a minhag. This is we're on our way to a chazaka. So Bezrat Hashem, it'll continue. Today's shiur is dedicated Liyu Nishmas Pesel Bas Yichil Aaron. We hope that her nisham will have an aliyah. So I asked what I should speak about, and a rumor came back that I should speak about cheres. Speak about freedom. Man Cheresenu. That's what Pesach's all about. The question is, what does Cheres mean? What does it mean for a person to be free? I understand in a simple sense, Zman Cheresenu, the whole Zman is a Zman of Cheresenu. So if we don't know what Cheres is, then we don't know what Pesach is. We don't know what the whole Yom Tov is. There was a famous sociologist, psychologist, many different things that he did. Name that some of you will probably recognize, Eric Fromm. Eric Fromm, you recognize the name? Wrote a lot of books. His first book, published in English in 1941, was called Escape from Freedom. Escape from Freedom. He was born to Orthodox Jewish parents, German Jews. And he talks about in his book, and I've been thinking about this for the last couple of years as maybe a springboard to talk about what Zman Cheresenu is. He talks about the difference between freedom from versus freedom to. You hear the chilek? Freedom from, what am I trying to get away from? Freedom to, what am I going towards? Total opposites in the sense that one is exceptionally negative, one is exceptionally positive. Freedom from is negative. I need to get away from something. So now that I'm free, what do I do with that freedom? Not really sure where to put it. Well, that's a dangerous thing. A person who has cheirus, a person who has freedom, he or she is not sure where to go with that freedom, can be a very destructive thing. Freedom too means I freed myself also from something, but I'm focused on the positive aspect of where am I, what, so great, so now I have freedom, so what am I going to do with that freedom? Where am I trying to get to? And I want to think of tonight, because I think it's true, in the context of Pesach, it's very easy to think of freedom from. It's very easy to focus on the aspect of Klai Yisrael running away from something. Running away from Paro, running away from Mitzrayim. Instead of thinking, where are we trying to get to? Okay, good, so now we're free. But if I don't have a game plan, if I don't know where I'm trying to get to, if I'm not running towards something, then as he describes in his book, in many passages, there's a tremendous, tremendous danger. A person who's free and doesn't know where to put that freedom, it could be the scariest thing in the world. Maybe someone here will admit to watching the movie Shawshank Redemption. Anyone? Show of hands. Oh, some honest people here. Yeah, if you never heard of it, I went online today to see what year it was from. Some of you are probably born around then. So, Shawshank Redemption, based on the Stephen King book, movie in 1994. And in Shawshank Redemption, if you remember, I remember, that there was a fellow named Brooks who got out of jail after 50 years, and he had no clue what to do with himself. And unfortunately, killed himself, committed suicide. Because when a person escapes from something negative, but doesn't know how to channel it towards something positive, it's a very, very dangerous situation. And therefore, on the Seder night, it's very clear to us, even in the halacha, that there immediately has to, we have to go from freedom from to freedom to right away. There can't be a freedom that doesn't take us somewhere. Where do we see this in the halacha? There's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Taf Ayin Tes, chapter 479. Acher kach mozgin lo kos shlishi, after the meal you pour the third cup. Umavarech alav birchas hamazon, ubrei priya gafen, you bench over that cup, you say, brei priya gafen, you drink the third cup, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'lo yishte yayin beino lo kos revi. You can't drink extra cups of wine between the third cup and the fourth cup. Why? During the second cup, between the second and third cup, I can drink more. The second cup you make at the end of, make the bracha of Brei Priya Gafen at the end of Magid. So during the meal, if I want to add a third cup, and a fourth cup, and a fifth cup, and a sixth cup, I'm not recommending that, it's not Purim. But if a person wants to, a person can. Says the Shulchan Aruch very clearly, V'lo yishte yayin beino lekos revi. You can't drink between the third and fourth cup. What's the pshat? So the Mishnah Berurah answers, B'derech halacha, you drink too much wine, you're going to get sleepy. You're not going to be able to finish the Seder. You have to be gomer as a halal. You got to finish halal. There's still a lot of avodah to do. That's a pashut reason. Another reason is, says the Mishnah Berurah, nira kemosif alakosos. It looks like you're adding cups. Chazal or koveya, four cups. And therefore, if you drink five cups, six cups, seven cups, right, it looks like baltosif. Looks like you're adding on to the tekana of chazal. All right, we have to ask, so why can I drink between the second and third cup? It's a good question. That's b'derech halacha, pashup shah. But in Pnimius, many of the Svarim explain on a deeper level The four cups correspond to the four lashonas of Gula. Voseitzi, Visalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti. And therefore, Vigaalti and Vilakachti have to be linked. Freedom from, freedom to. From the time Vigaalti, we were redeemed, Vilakachti, we need to be taken by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because to be freed from the mitzvah and have nowhere to go is a very dangerous thing. That's why Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, brings a beautiful remez. He says the gematria of the words Yesias Mitzrayim, he writes in his Sefer, he says the gematria of the words Yesias Mitzrayim is the same as the gematria of Nasa V'Nishma, exactly. Why? Because what do I do with my Yesias Mitzrayim? Do I turn it into a Velakachti? Do I turn it into a Nasa V'Nishma, a Kabbalah Satorah? Because if I don't, if I get lost somewhere between the third and fourth cup, then God forbid a person ends up in a very dark place. And therefore I want to talk about four aspects of Cheres tonight, four different approaches to Cheres. Some of them are a little heavy, but I want to think of it, I'm using this as a hakadama, to think of it as moving towards something. Because some of the things you can interpret it as running away from something. It's not running away from something. It's approaching something head on, with the courage to tackle it head on. Again, some of them are going to be, you'll see, be a little heavy. But think of it, try to think of it again, lahavdil a little bit, the way that Eric Fromm was describing, this escape from versus an escape towards. Try to think of all these forms of cheres as moving towards something, and not so much about what we're moving away from. Because again, we have to go immediately from the third cup to the fourth cup. We need to go from the Vigaalti to the Vilakachti. Yetzias Mitzrayim is exactly Gematria and Nasa V'Nishma. You have to go from Mitzrayim to Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, I'll tell you one more Gematria, just for fun. The whole night, as we're going to discuss, is about Cheres. Before we get into the heavy stuff, start off with something a little lighter. B'derech Remez. The Sfarim bring a magnificent remez. There was a tzaddik, someone asked me the other night, what Haggadah do you like to use at the Seder? So I like to use this Haggadah, it looks like a big Gemara, it's a huge Haggadah. It was written by a chassid who was killed during the war, during the Holocaust, Hashem should avenge his blood. And in this Haggadah, there are eight different peirushim on the page. Pshat, remez, drush, sod, halacha, machshava, midrashim. And what's so amazing, I have a typeset version. There's a handwritten version, somehow he spaced it out, it's a magnificent work of art, calligraphy, the way he spaced out how much space he needs for each of his chidushim, filled with beautiful chidushim. So he brings a remez in there, other svarim bring it as well. How do we achieve cheres on the night of the Seder, Leila Seder? He says, what's the gematria of the word cheres? Ches, yud, resh, vav, tav. Cherut. Ches, yud, resh, vav, tav. 624. How do we achieve cheres? Chazal gave us a recipe, the Torah gave us a recipe. How do you get to cheres? So we drink wine and we eat matzah. Right? So he says, take the gematria of the word kos yayin. Kos yayin, that's one cup of wine. Kos yayin. Kos is 86 and yayin is 70, so that's 156. How many cups of wine do we drink on the Seder night? How many kos yayins do we have? We have four. Four cups of wine. So what's four times kos yayin? Four times 156? 624. Cheres. Matria Cheres. So the four cups of wine is one vehicle by which we come to Cheres. Okay, how many matzahs do we have? How many matzahs do we have? Three matzahs. Vilna Gaon had two matzahs. Okay. Most people have three matzahs. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, three matzahs. The matzahs referred to in Parshas Re'e, the end of Parshas Re'e, when it goes through the calendar year, through the Yom Tovim, refers to the matzahs Lechem Oni. And it's spelled, Oni is spelled like Ani. It's pronounced Oni in the Torah, but it's spelled Ani, Lechem Ani. So says the Sefer Beis Avram Beis Aaron, that's the name of the Haggadah. He says, what's the gematria of Lechem Oni? How much is Lechem? Lechem is 78. How much is Oni, without the Vav, Ayin Nun Yud? 130. So that's 208. Right? Lechem Oni is 208. How many masses do we have? Three. Three times 208 is 624. Cheres. Right? So we have different mediums to come to Cheres. Four times Kos Yayin is Cheres. Three times Lechem Oni is Cheres. There are different ways that we come to Cheres on the night of the Seder. But what are we trying? What kind of Cheres are we looking for? Cheres from what? So let's talk about four types of Cheres. Okay, the first freedom to. Again, each one of these has to be a freedom to. Not a freedom from, a freedom to. Number one. Maybe the heaviest one. A freedom, the freedom to address the parts of our life that I'm usually too scared to deal with. Freedom to deal head on, in an honest way, even if it hurts, to deal with those parts of our life that we don't like to deal with. One of the sons of the Rishner was known as the Rebbe of Husyatin. I read a story about one of the Rebbes of Husyatin, I'm not sure which one it was. The youngest son of the Rishner was the Husyatina Rebbe. One of the rebbes of Husyotin had a couch, had a sofa. And the sofa was a little bit beat up, so he hired a handyman to come to fix up his sofa, to patch up the couch. So he comes to the house, and he's busy. He spends the whole afternoon, he's patching up the couch, does a nice job. Says to the Rebbe, okay, I'm done, he's ready to go. And the Rebbe takes a look at the couch, and the Rebbe pulls the couch out, he looks behind the couch, he sees there's a little rip in the back of the couch. So he says, you didn't deal with the back of the couch, you missed the spot behind the couch. So the handyman says, Rebbe, the back of the couch faces the wall, no one sees the back of the couch. So the Rebbe says to the handyman, he says, we were taught that the things that people don't see are actually the most important part. The part behind the couch that no one sees, the space behind the couch that no one sees, it's very nice, the front of the couch looks nice. Everyone wants the front of the couch to look nice. But how many people are dealing with the stuff behind the couch? How many people are fixing the rip in the back of the couch? One of the things that we're free to do on Pesach, we have the confidence with the chametz pushed aside, the Yetzirah put aside, and I'm able to think clearly. I have emunah in Hashem. I know the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with me, even if I'm still transitioning from Galus to Geula, that I have the courage to deal with those things that are behind the couch. Everyone has stuff behind the couch. Yeah, anyone here's life is perfect? Raise your hand. Anyone? No, no one? Shocking. Everyone's got stuff. Everyone has a tear in the back of the couch. Right? Some people are dealing with it, and some people aren't yet dealing with it. Some people are not yet ready to take it on. We read this past Shabbos, a pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra. It says that when you bring a karban, when you bring a chatas, an ola, an asham, where do you shecht it? Where in the Beis HaMikdash do you shecht it? Picture the following scene. You enter the Beis HaMikdash usually through the east. The Kodesh Kodashim is on the far end in the west. Yeah. As you're walking forward, you come to through the Ezras Nashim, to the Ezras Yisrael, to the Ezras Kohanim. You see a huge mizbeach. 10 amos tall from the ground to the top of the horns, the karnos hamizbeach. A huge ramp. Yeah. Where do you shecht the animals? If it's kodshim kalim, you shecht it anywhere. Ezu makoman shel zvachim. It's part of karbanos in the morning. Where do we shecht the most serious karbanos? Chatas, ola, asham. Tzafona lifnei Hashem. Tzafona means to the north. To the north of the mizbeach, so to speak, beyond the top of the mizbeach, were a series of rungs that the Kohanim would use to hold an animal in place and to shecht. Tzafona, to the north, lifnei Hashem. What's the pshat? Why do we shecht in the north? It's the inyan of shechting in the north. So we'll notice that the word tzafon is very similar to one of the steps in the Seder. Tzafun. What's tzafun? Tzafun's afikomen. What do we do during afikomen? We take a piece of matzah that was broken early on the Seder. A matzah that was already broken before we broke it because it was lachavoni. It was already a broken piece of matzah. Already a piece of matzah that was going through a tough time. And we broke it up even more. Right? And we hid it away. Maybe the kid came and one of the children came and hid the afikomen. Right? Maybe the balabais put the afikomen in the safe place. Right? According to Chabad, by Chabad, they break up the afikomen. After they split it in half, they take the bigger piece, they break it into 5 smaller pieces. Kabbalistically corresponding to the 5 kochos of Gvura. Right? And now, at the very end of a whole long night, questions and answers and really trying to deal with stuff, we say, you know what, it's time to take out the tzafon. It's time to get the piece behind the couch. Literally behind the couch. I remember when I was a kid, that's where I had the afikomen. No? I had the afikomen behind the couch. You go behind the couch, take that broken little piece of matzah, and you say, I'm ready to engage in this piece of matzah. I'm ready to deal with it. How do I deal with it? I eat it. But b'derech pnimius, what am I doing with this piece of matzah? I'm taking that hidden dimension of my life, that part of my life that's still broken into a lot of little pieces, and I say, you know what? It's time to internalize it. It's time to stop running away from it. Tzafon lifnei Hashem. Tzafon, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to shecht our karbanos when we're dealing with sins, Asham, Chatas, Ola. The reason that we're shechting in the north is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, it's not so much about what it looks like on the surface. The carbon on the surface, that's very nice. You drop off your animal, you give it to the Kohen takes care of it. Hashem says, what's with the Tzafun? What's with the hidden dimension? What's going on the inside? Listen to the words of the Chiddush Erevim. Svasem is quoted in this past week's Parsha. Ki ikar ha-karbon haya beratzon limsor nafsho l'Hashem yisparach. The main carbon is not how do I present myself when everyone's looking. The Rebbe of Husyotin said, we were taught that the main thing is the part behind the couch, the part that no one knows about. That's the main part. V'zeha hester shahaya b'karbon, that's the hidden aspect of the carbon. Everyone sees you walk into the Beis HaMikdash to drop off the animal. But no one knows what thoughts are going through your mind as you drop off that carbon, the hirhurei tshuva, the cheshbon ha-nefesh, v'nikra tzafona, says the Chiddush Erim, the first Ger Rebbe, that's called tzafona. Tzafona literally means north. But tzafon is tzafun. V'zeh yachol yos gam ata. Mechilis Shrimps is a beautiful thing. We can't bring karbanos nowadays. At least the animal we can't drop off nowadays. But the tzafon we can still deal with. The inner dimension of the karban we're able to still do nowadays. And therefore, part of the freedom that we feel on the night of the Seder is, you know what? I feel confident enough in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to help me, as Hashem helped them in Mitzrayim, that I'm finally going to deal with stuff. I'm going to find someone to talk to. So find someone to talk to doesn't mean I post it on Facebook. Find someone to talk to means I find a friend, if I'm so lucky, a spouse, or a Rebbe, or a therapist, or someone, and I'm able to say, you know what? I've been carrying this around for a long time. It's really impinging upon my chayrus. Because I'm not dealing with it. I haven't dealt with it. And I want to feel freed from this thing. I don't want to schlep it around for the rest of my life. And I want to find someone who I could share it with, who can help me to properly deal with it. Someone who has the expertise to deal with this matter. I retrieve that piece of afikoman at the end of the meal and I say, okay, it's time to internalize this afikoman. It's time to deal with this hidden dimension. Something that I haven't been comfortable to deal with until now. Adam ki akriv mikam karban la'Hashem. When a person brings of himself or herself a karban to Hashem. Tzafon, tzafuna. That's the part, says the Chiddush Arim, that it's possible for a person to still bring Bizman Hazeh. The fourth Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, one time was really down about something. Really, really down. I don't know what it was. Something was really weighing on him. And he met up with the Rebbe of Alexander. And the Rebbe of Alexander said, Ger Rebbe, Beis Yisrael, fourth Ger Rebbe, what's bothering you? What's on your mind? So he saw, he was very down on himself. So he said, let me tell you a mashal. He says, you're very upset about something, but let me help you try to deal with this in the right way. I'll tell you a mashal. He said, imagine a little boy sitting in cheder one day, and his Rebbe is teaching him aleph bis. So the Rebbe says, kamatz aleph. Nu, beryl, kamatz aleph, Rebbe, ah. Kamatz aleph is pronounced ah. Good, shkoyach, beryl. Nu, yankel. Patach beis, ba. Good, beautiful. Avremela. Letter hey, what's under the hey? The kid gets very nervous. No, Avremela, what's under the hey? How do we say it? What's under the hey? Kid looks like he's, you know. So the Rebbe says, it's okay if you don't know, it's okay. He takes the kid aside. He says, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't embarrass you. If you need to go over it a few more times, it's okay. Well, you look so scared. I just asked you a simple question, what's under the hey? Why are you so nervous? So he says, Rebbe, because my father told me that if I tell anyone what's under the hay, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to get a patch. So what? He realized this kid's father stole something, and he hid it in the barn under the hay. And he told his son, if you say what's under the hay, you're in big trouble. Don't you ever say what's under the hay. So the Rebbe of Alexander said to the Beis Yisrael, there's a pasuk in Chumash, a very strange pasuk. Tachas asher lo avadtas Hashem lokecha. V'simcho v'tuv levav. At the end of the Tochacha, oh, you want to know why you went through a Holocaust? Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Simcha. It's a very shver pasuk, very hard to understand. Because we didn't serve Hashem with enough joy, so now we got a Holocaust. But that's what the Tochacha is, very strange. So the Rebbe Alexander said to the Ger Rebbe, he said, listen, this is how I read the pasuk. Tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha. Let's stop right there. What's tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha? What's underneath tachas? Doesn't just mean because of. Tachas means underneath. What's underneath the reason you're struggling in your Yiddishkeit? You're thinking that maybe it's something to do with this, but maybe there's something tachas, maybe there's something beneath the surface you haven't dealt with. Maybe that's what's really bothering you. When people come to talk to me about Amunah issues, it's never an Amunah issue. It has nothing to do with God. Never, never. Kim'at never has anything to do with Hashem. We start to talk and we, tachas, we'll come, no, let's dig a little bit. What's under the hay? And we find what the real problem is. What's really bothering you? The tear behind the couch. What's really bothering you? So he said, Ger Rebbe, I see that you're very upset about something. I just want to remind you, Rebbe, that a Jew has to look tachas asher lo avadata. What's underneath? The person does a verus. Why? What's really behind that? Is it so hard to listen to Hashem? What's tachas? What's underneath that? And forget a verus. Just regular life. The person's going through a difficulty. Different people have different struggles. Right? But have you gotten down to the core of what that struggle is? What's underneath it? Have you dealt with it? Have you spoken to someone about it? There's a funny chazal. Gemara says in Yoma, on the pasuk in Mishlei, Daigo b'leiv ish, a person has worries in their heart, yashchena. You know what yashchena means? Suppress it. That's the pasuk in Mishlei, in the sixth parak. You have worries in your heart, suppress it. Don't deal with it. Says the Gemara in Yoma, don't read it yashchena, read it yisichena, talk it out. So, that's the opposite of the pasuk. No, Chazal say, if you really want to deal with it, if you want to be able to really suppress it, not to just, you know, hold it back, to really suppress it, to put it to rest once and for all, yisichani, you have to talk about it. You have to deal with it. Pesach. Kolamar v'lesaper hareza meshubach. The more you're able to deal with it, the better. It's not always easy. But on Pesach, unlike the rest of the year when we're sweeping things under the rug, on Pesach we lift up the rug and we sweep everything out. We sweep out everything. Tzafona lifnei Hashem. You want to really bring a carbon to Hashem? You want to really be close to Hashem? You want to feel really close to Hashem? A Jew has to deal with the parts of his life that he doesn't want to deal with. The parts of her life that she doesn't want to deal with. That's how you're able to really bring a carbon to Hashem. If you're just faking it on the surface and putting on a smile to make other people happy, you're never going to be truly happy. You're never going to feel free from that thing, whatever that thing is. Whether it's an aveira or whether it's just a struggle, you're going through a tough time. Do you have someone to talk to? Yisichana. Do you have someone to express the sorrow and the worry of your heart with? And if you do, then you'll be able to deal with it. One of my friends told me, he said, on Purim, all the dirt floats to the surface, which makes the Pesach cleaning earlier. Yeah, Pesach cleaning easier. On Purim, everything bubbles up, you know? Nechlas Yayin, Yatzasod, all the dirt comes up to the surface. Sometimes Jews act a little bit too crazy on Purim. Yeah? But that, when the dirt comes up, then it's easy to wipe it away. Now you're ready to deal with it. Purim gives a person an opening to be able to talk straight, to be honest, to really say honest things. And that's how a Jew prepares himself for Pesach, and that's how a person gets under the kadosh. Bedikas chametz, you search every nook and cranny. Am I being honest with myself? Am I really dealing with those parts behind the couch that the Rebbe of Husyatin said are also really, really important? That's one type of cheres. When you finally are able to deal with it, again, a friend, a Rebbe, I mentioned this, I spoke about part of this idea over Shabbos this past week. Someone came to me, Motzei Shabbos, we sat down and had maybe one of the most important talks he ever had in his life. And it doesn't have to be me, I'm not saying it should be me, it should be anyone, whoever. It could be a friend, it could be a therapist, It could be a rabbi, it could be a family member, whatever it is. But to make sure that we're getting to those parts of ourselves that we sometimes ignore. That's one type of freedom. A second type of freedom, chayrus, freedom two, this is a big freedom when a person finally does this, freedom to think independently. Freedom to not spend my whole life worrying about how other people understand me to be. Freedom to have the confidence in who I am. That I don't owe it to anyone other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live the life I'm supposed to live. I often quote, there's a vart from the Skolli Rebbe, present Skolli Rebbe in Bar Park. He says, if you look in the Tochacha, the Pasuk says, Vahayisa Meshuga Mimara Einecha Asher Tir'eh. What does it mean? If you've ever seen a picture, Rachmana Litzlan, of a Jew in the Holocaust, you can go crazy just from looking at such a picture. Vahayisa Meshuga, you'll go crazy, Mimara Einecha Asher Tir'eh. Ask any person, and unfortunately there's not as many left in the world today, ask anyone who went through the Holocaust. They'll tell you, we saw things with our own eyes that could make a person totally go out of their mind. There's a story that's told that after the war, in one of the DP camps, there was a Yid going around with a candle, and a spoon and a feather, like Bedikas Chametz, right? And he was looking for his family. Nachman Al-Tzai, he had gone so crazy, and his family had been killed, that he was going around searching for his family, like a crazy person, Bedikas Chametz. That's the Pashup Shah in the Pasuk, and it's in the context of the Tocha, so it makes a lot of sense. The Skolli Rebbe said, how many people make themselves crazy by looking at other people? You'll make yourself crazy. Oh, I wish I had the Shalom bias that couple has. Oh, I wish I've gotten married as soon as my friend got married. Oh, I wish I would have had children as soon as that person. Oh, I wish I would have had that amount of money in the bank account so I could live as comfortably as that person. Oh, I wish I would have. And you'll make yourself nuts. Have the freedom on Pesach. Zman Chayr Hussein, have the freedom to say, you know what? I want to be like a matzah this year. I want to be like a matzah. The matzah is not interested in any additives. The matzah says, I'm very happy being plain. Don't even add salt. Certainly don't try to get fancy with me with the fruit juices and eggs. Not interested. Oil, wine, honey. I'm not interested. The matzah says, I'm not interested in that. I'm very comfortable being a matzah. And I feel the chayrus of what? I feel the chayrus of being true to myself. I don't feel obligated to respond to someone else. Why do I have to worry about what someone else thinks about me? My whole life is about presenting myself to meet the picture that someone else wants me to be. If I'm being honest with myself, and if I'm honest in my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then I'm authentic. I'm as authentic as a piece of matzah. I'm not inflated. I'm not puffed up. I don't have all sorts of additives being influenced by the outside. I'm very honest and I'm very real. I'm very honest and very real with who I am. It's interesting. You look in Rashi, if you remember the moment when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Jews are never going to listen to me. And if the Jews don't listen to me, then Eichish Me'eni Paro. Paro is certainly not going to listen to me. Paro doesn't listen to me. The Jews don't listen to me. Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? The Jews don't listen to me. So Eichish Me'eni Paro. How would Paro listen to me? Hold on a second. Slaves who've been enslaved, who don't know how to think independently, so they're not willing to listen to you. I understand. Their minds are completely shut down. Paro's a melech. Paro's a melech. A melech can do what he wants. A melech can listen. Melech is a big person. Right? What's the Kal v'chomer? The Sefer Birkas Mordechai is Rosh Hashivan Bayit Vegan of Rav Ezrachi. So he says, what's the Kal v'chomer? He writes in his Sefer Birkas Mordechai, what's the Kal v'chomer? The slaves won't listen. Kal v'chomer, Paro won't listen. Why Kal v'chomer, Paro won't listen? What's the Sheikh's Klai Yisrael to Paro? So he writes, Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi says, Paro is also a slave. What's Paro a slave to? Also, he's a slave to his self-image. Paro, like a crazy person, gets up early in the morning to go to the bathroom in the Nile River to fit his warped thinking that he's a god. That people shouldn't realize that he's not a god, even though everyone knows he's not a god. But he has to play this game, right, that the melech is schlepping himself out at 4 in the morning to go to the bathroom in the Nile as he's bathing in the Nile so that people will think that he's a certain way. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Paro is a slave and the Jews are slaves. They're both slaves. Right? The Jews are slaves because they're mamish slaves. The Paro is a slave because he's so busy worrying about his self-perception and what people think about him. He's so caught up in his image. So he's also a slave. A free person, Rav Kook writes, one of his pieces on the Haggadah, a beautiful piece. He says, when Klai Yisrael went free from Mitzrayim, and Klai Yisrael came to Kabbalah Satorah, and they got the Torah imposed upon them that was mamish freeing. Because when a person has Torah, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world says. I know what Hashem says. Why do I care what the world says? Kotzker Rebbe said, such a gavalik shot. Kotzker Rebbe said that when the Jews stood at Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, Ki Ish Achad Belev Achad, right? So Kotzker Rebbe said, what was the chiddush of Kabbalah Satorah? What was the big chiddush of Har Sinai? Someone says the Jews were united. They were all looking at Hashem. Kotzker Rebbe always saw things differently. Kotzker Rebbe said, you know what's beautiful about Har Sinai? Most of us want a postcard of Har Sinai. You see all the Jews looking up at a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kotzker Rebbe said, no, that's not what I saw. You know what was beautiful? Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har. The Jews were united in turning their back on the world. The Jewish people said, we're not interested. No, but we have some... No, it's okay. It's fine. We're comfortable. So you think it's weird? You think we do weird stuff? This is what Hashem told us to do. You think Bris Milah is weird, that we circumcise our babies? I understand why you think that's weird. I was talking to one of my students today about Pidyon Peter Chamor. You know what that is? You ever see pictures of it? A donkey dressed up. Yeah, a donkey has a kedusha. It's an odd thing that a donkey has a certain kedusha. A firstborn donkey has to be redeemed. And just like they take a baby out of Pidyon Haben, and sometimes you know make him look all fancy and cute. So they take a donkey and they dress up this donkey for Pidyon Peter Chamor. What does the world think about Pidyon Peter Chamor? It's pretty weird. Do a lot of weird stuff. You Jews do a lot of weird stuff. You're so scared of bread. What's your problem? That needs a therapist. You're so scared of bread. That needs some serious work. Yeah, but we don't care. Why? Because I'm like a matzah. I feel free. Listen to the words of Eric Fromm in The Escape from Freedom. The frightened individual seeks for somebody or something to tie himself to. He cannot bear to be his own individual self any longer, and he tries frantically to get rid of it and to feel security again by the elimination of this burden. What's the burden? The self. People who can't sit alone for 2 seconds. I have to always be connected to something. Why? Why just be comfortable being you? Be free. Don't be enslaved to someone else's opinions and other people's perceptions. Just allow yourself to be mamash free. And that's another type of cheres that a Jew can achieve on the night of the Seder. A third type of cheres, very important for Pesach. A third type of cheres is the fact, in an ironic kind of way, that the night of Pesach is called the Seder. The night is called the Seder. Yeah, it's a little bit of a funny Seder. Right from the opening stanza of the Simane HaSeder, everyone asks the question, Kadesh Orchat, Kadesh Orchat. Shouldn't it be Orchatz Kaddish? Rachatz Kaddish? What comes first? Kedusha or Tara? First you have to Orchatz, wash away your Averos, wash away whatever's on the surface, and then Kaddish, then you can enter into a life of Kedusha. What's Kaddish Orchatz? That's out of order. What kind of Seder is this? So they say, okay, that's part of the Seder of the night. The Seder is out of order. The same way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was Pasach, Kadosh Baruch Hu is jumping around. Whoa, what's jumping around? Slow down, Hashem. You're jumping all over the place. How does Kaddish come before Orchatz? That's not in order. Sometimes people come to the Seder and you have a certain image of what you want the Seder to look like. And you're tied to that. You feel almost enslaved to that. I said a funny Vard the other day. We say at the beginning of the Haggadah, Mitzchile of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, Va'achshav Kirvanu HaMakum Lavodasa. We started off as idol worshippers, and now we got close to Hashem. Yeah? So we think of that, that's the process of the Seder. Maschel B'gnos, Simsayim B'shvach. Here's my vart. You come to the Seder, and the Seder table is perfect. We say about such a perfect display of the Avodah Zarah. That's not realistic. That's not real life. That's Avodah Zarah. Everything's going to be perfect. You're totally in control. The God that you worship is the God that you made. Avodah Zarah. Mitzchil, the beginning of the Seder, of the Avodah Zarah. Va'achshav, and at the end of the meal, when the tablecloth is stained with wine and there's crumbs everywhere, now you're holding by Shir HaShirim. Now you're close to Hashem. Now you're free. Rav Elia Roth, the Tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Nebuch, his wife is not a mentally well person. She's not a healthy person. And one time he had some bachrim at his Seder. They came back to the house. They were so excited. They know what a Seder table looks like. You come in, the house is spotless. Everything's beautiful. They walked in and this home was in disarray. It was like, they were embarrassed. So Rav Elia walked in and he sees the look on the face of these bachrim. And he says, bachrim! He says, look at this home. This is a place of chairus. He says, everyone has their picture of exactly how the Seder needs to be. I have no expectations. I'm mamash a free man. A person comes to the Seder. And you have a certain image of what you want the Seder to look like. Right, maybe you're spending the Seder with some relatives who you like more, you like less. You have a certain image how you want the Seder to go. And once some person's going on and on with the Divrei Torah, some person's rushing the Seder and you want it. What do you mean? Well, we're rushing. I want to have a Seder. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I run the Seder. I run the Seder. Free yourself from that expectation that it's going to be a certain way. Rav Kluger from Eretz Yisrael was here tonight. He gave a shiur just before this. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger. In his Sefer of Shirin that he gave to women, Os Chavakesh, on page 108, he talks about this. He talks about people who come to the Seder with expectations. I want my kids to sit at the table. That's nice. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe yes, maybe no. Are you going to be a slave to that idea of how you want the Seder to be? Did you not pay attention? Kaddish Orchatz is already out of order. 2 seconds into the Seder, out of order. That's life. You have a certain image how you want it to be. I want to get this at a certain time. I want to get that at a certain time. I've got the next 10 years of my life planned out. And then I hit a bump in the road and I'm not flexible. I don't know how to deal with it. So then you're a slave. You're a slave to an idea. You're a slave to your version of how you want things to be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have my own version of the Seder. My Seder doesn't always look like a Seder. Pesach ala Pesach. Hashem says, I jump around. That's how I run the Seder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's how I run the Seder. And a person, again, who's not so rigid, a person who's understanding of what? That life has ups and downs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in the driver's seat. And I'm just a person who's coming along for the ride, and I do that with emuna, then I'm not a slave. Rav Elia Roth could walk into a home that was filthy by other people's standards, and he said, it's okay. This is the way Hashem, this is my life, this is my family, this is how it is. I'm going to be frustrated by it and be a slave to my image of how I wanted it to be, or I'm allowing myself to be free. Right? One way to experience chayrus on the night of the Seder is to be open to the possibility of a little bit of a lack of Seder. And sometimes Seder comes in a different way. And last but not least, a fourth and very important type of chayrus that perhaps we can achieve on the night of Pesach. I was thinking about this a lot this past Shabbos also. I realized Friday night, when I was learning the Parsha, that the Karban Ola, listen to this pasuk about the Karban Ola. The Karban Ola, it says, V'hifshit es ha'ola, v'nitach osol l'nsachah. Karban Ola means that the Kohen doesn't eat from it. It's Ola, the whole thing is Ola. The whole thing goes up. You burn the whole thing. Yeah? Says the pasuk, v'hivshis es ha'ola, v'hivshit es ha'ola, you strip the ola of its skin, v'nitach osol insachah, and then you cut it into pieces. So I'll ask you a very simple question. If you're going to burn the whole thing anyways, why not just throw the whole animal on the mizbeach? Why do you have to chop it into pieces? The rosh, and the regel, and the shtei yadayim. Why am I chopping it up into 10 different pieces? Chopping up the whole animal. So maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Ola, you want to be wholeheartedly dedicated to Hashem. That's very nice. I hope you get there, Hashem says. But let's say, maybe we can get Ola, we can be perfect, we can get all the way there, step by step. Maybe I have this picture of how I want the whole thing to be, and Hashem says, that's good, right? But if you feel this pressure, this lachatz to get there in one shot, it's not going to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's take a big problem, let's divide it up into a lot of little pieces. And we'll offer them up one piece at a time. One piece at a time, one piece at a time. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking Avram to offer the ultimate Ola, who's the ultimate carbon Ola? Yitzchak. Okay, that's Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, I want you to offer Bincha, Yechidcha, right? Asher Ahavta, Yitzchak. So the Kli Yakar says, what's with the Rashi says already? What's with the step by step? He didn't want to overwhelm him. I'm asking for everything. Hashem asks us for everything every day of our life. But Hashem says, I also understand that it's very overwhelming and you feel trapped when you expect to get there instantly. So Hashem says, let's take it slow. I want your son. Which son? Yechidcha, your only son. Which only son? I have a Yishmael and I have Avram has a Yishmael and he has the Yitzchak. Right? The one that you love. I love both my children. Yitzchak. Hashem says, step by step by step by step. Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. Says the Kli Yakar. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Miladcha, mibeis avicha. Right? Why don't you just say, Avram, get out, go? No, it's too much. Step by step. He has to process it. If he's going to try to do everything at once, right, he's going to feel so overwhelmed that he can't do anything. What do we teach our children on the Seder night, and what do we teach ourselves? I want to learn together a piece from Rav Avram Shor's Haggadah, the Lechach Valibov. He says a beautiful var. What's the source for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Vigadata levincha bayom ahu lemor. Dot, dot, dot. We got to tell Levincha, tell your children by Yomahu on that day, Lemor, saying, da da da. Rav Shor says, here's how I read the pasuk. If you got to tell Levincha, tell your child, or tell yourself, or tell someone you know, tell them, by Yomahu Lemor. Teach them, Lemor, to say, by Yomahu. Says Rav Shor, what do you mean, teach your child to say, by Yomahu? What does that mean? You know how many people are trapped and can't do anything because they look at all of life and they just shut down? They're enslaved. There's so much to do. How am I ever going to do it? You know what? I can't do anything. Oh, hold on a second. You actually can do everything. Oh, you can offer the whole karban. Let's do it piece by piece. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Vigadat Levincha. You're teaching your children how to go from being slaves in Egypt to being God's people. That's a very overwhelming responsibility. Vigadat Levincha. Tell your children, Bayomahu, Lemor. Lemor to say, Bayomahu, one day at a time. One day at a time. How many people can't do certain things in Avodas Hashem because I can't do it for an hour? So I asked you, can you do it for 5 minutes? Yeah, I can do it for 5 minutes. Great, so do it for 5 minutes. And then after that, see if you can do it for another 5 minutes. And then after that, see if you can do it for another 5 minutes. And then after that, see if you can do it for another 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, you did it for an hour. Right? Break it into pieces. Don't try to tackle the whole thing at once. A lot of different responsibilities in life. I shut down, I get so overwhelmed. And then your person gets trapped. You're an Eved. You're enslaved to all your responsibilities. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, when we bring the carbon ola, we offer it up piece by piece by piece by piece. Every single piece. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, lech lecha, me'artzecha, o'melatecha, mibeis avicha, step by step. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, bincha, yechidcha, ahavta, yitzchak. Step by step by step. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's the only way we're going to get there. The Peli Yoetz, written by the horn stipler, Rabbi of Hornstifel said, if you look in Parshas Bechukosai, when we take Meiser from our animals, every tenth animal is for Hashem. So how do we do it? You know how we do it? We take all the animals, we put them in a big pen. And they start to go out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Mark the tenth. Meiser for Hashem. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, you count them off. So it says the Rabbi of Hornstifel, why didn't Hashem just say, take 10% of your animals and just give it to Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not going to work. You're not going to want to give it that way. 10%, I have to give away 10% to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, this is how I want you to count. 1 for you, 2 for you, 3 for you, 4 for you, 5 for you, 6 for you, 7 for you, 8 for you, 9 for you, 1 for Hashem. That's overwhelming that way, no? Look how much you get, and then, okay, we'll throw one in for Hashem. I get 9, Hashem gets 1. Right, it's much easier that way. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky tells that when he was a Rav in Europe, so he used to send his son to the post office, Binyamin Kamenetsky. And he would send Binyamin to the post office, and it was a long walk to the post office to pick up the mail, to pick up his father's correspondence. And he said he used to complain to, Binyamin said he used to complain to his father, it's such a long trip to the post office. So Rav Yaakov said, I have a really good idea for you. Along the way, there's poles, right? Oh, street signs, whatever it is. I want you, when you go to the post office, say, count the poles. Right? And tell me how many poles there are when you come back. So he comes back, he says, there's 32 poles. Great. So he says to his son, next time you go to the post office, instead of looking at it as this one long journey, he says, I want you to look at it as 32 poles. Right? One at a time, count the poles. And he says, Binyamin said, I learned from my father that when you have a big problem, the way to deal with it is you break it into smaller pieces. We say to ourselves on the Seder night, Hashem's asking a lot from us. We're starting off the night as slaves, and we're ending the night as free people. We're starting off the night as people who have no say in our life, and by the end of the night, we're making big decisions. I'm a nifchar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whoa, slowly, slowly. One day at a time. You're not going to become the greatest tzaddikus overnight. It doesn't happen like that. No one ever became like that. It's step by step by step. Without that pressure, without that lachatz. Again, when I see everything in front of me, I totally shut down. I become an eved. And when I'm able to say, you know what? We got it to live in Chabayom Ahu Lemur. I break the night into little pieces. Like the big carbon ola, I'm offering the whole thing to Hashem, but I can't do it all at once. I got to chop it up. And then all of a sudden, I start to be able to do it. I can function again. And I believe in the power of a little bit. I believe in the power of a little bit. The Seder night, we believe in the power of a little bit. How much chametz is a problem? I have a pot of chicken soup the size of this room, yeah? I'm making chicken soup for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to give out little containers for all of Klal Yisrael. Chicken soup kosher LePesach. And my little son Yaakov, 3 years old, comes along with a little crouton, because he likes croutons in his chicken soup, and he throws one crouton into my huge pot of soup. No, bottle, no? Right? A drop of milk falls in. Bottle. Bottle b'shishim. Bottle b'rov. Bottle b'shishim. Bottle 1 in 100. Some things in halach are bottle 1 in 200 even. How much other do you need to mevatel chametz? What percentage of other do you need to have that the crumb doesn't matter? It's never bottle. One crumb, that whole pot of chicken soup is no longer kosher for Pesach. The Radbaz, Rabbi David ben Zimra, about 500 years ago, writes in a tshuva, he says, I cannot figure out this halacha. Why are we so crazy about chametz? Why are we so stringent about chametz? It doesn't make any sense. It's not batal berov, not batal b'shishim, not batal in 100, not batal in 1,000. I don't get it. It doesn't fit in halacha. It doesn't fit any category. So he says, it must be. He says, I can't work it out from a strictly halachic standpoint. It must be the halacha reflects the idea that people say. Is what he writes. Radbaz. He says, it must be that when people say that chametz is really a remez to the Yetzirah, it must mamash be the Yetzirah. And just like I don't want even a little bit of Yetzirah in my life, because a little bit of Yetzirah could destroy me, so too a little bit of chametz is a big problem. A tiny bit of chametz is a really big problem. So the Radbaz writes in the Tshuva. So my friends, me the Tova Merubah, if a tiny bit of chametz could be so destructive, so what could a tiny bit, if me the Tova Merubah, Chazal say a little bit of good is always better than a little bit of bad, so what do we learn? What's the power of a tiny bit of matzah? What's the power of a tiny bit of Tehillim? What's the power of a tiny bit of learning Torah? Yeah, but I want to learn the whole parsha every week. Okay. But maybe my schedule doesn't allow for that. Maybe my life doesn't allow for that right now. So instead of looking at the whole thing and saying, well, I can't offer this whole thing to Hashem, so forget it. I'm just shut down. I'll be enslaved to that idea how I wanted it to be a certain way. So instead, you know what? Let me chop it up into pieces. Can I do a little bit? Can I offer a little bit to Hashem? And then a person gets started. And then you start to see, step by step by step, a person's able to get there. We came out of Mitzrayim in one shot. It's true. But then we came to Kabbalah Satorah 49 days. The Seder night, we jump out. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us an advance. He throws us out of Mitzrayim, but then he says, okay, now we're going to do it the proper way. I had to schlep you out really fast. Now we're going to slow down. We're going to go step by step by step by step. And you'll get there. You'll mamash get there. The person who frees himself or herself from that idea that I want to do the whole thing. I have such big hasagos, such big hopes. But then I become enslaved to that idea and I can't do anything. So my friends, four types of freedom. Four types of freedom to talk, to think about. Yeah? On the Leila Seder in the days ahead. Number one, free yourself from whatever's behind the couch. You sweep stuff under the rug, sweep stuff out from under the rug. That's Aleph. Free yourself from that. Number two, free yourself from what other people think. Be like chametz. Be simple. Don't worry about adding more and more voices and opinions. Vayisa meshuga. Vayisa meshuga v'marinecha asher tira. Number three, the Seder itself. Remind yourself the Seder itself is out of order. And therefore, don't lock yourself in. Like Eliyahu Roth, who came home to a messy home and he said, I am the freest man in the world. Because as much as, of course, I would like to have a beautiful table set and the carpets cleaned and the floors swept, who wouldn't like that? But I'm not meshubed to that idea. I'm not tied to that idea. I'm not, I can function. And last but not least, to free yourself from this notion that only big things matter. To believe in the power of a little bit, and to believe that I can actually offer a whole carbon ola, but I'm going to do it piece by piece. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get Avraham Avinu out of an Avodah Zarah society, step by step. I'm going to ask for the ultimate carbon, Yitzchak Avinu, step by step by step. Rabbi Yaman Kamenetsky is going to go to the post office. He's not going to look at it as one long trip. He's going to look at it as little steps along the way. Break up that big problem into smaller pieces and set yourself free. Again, from that paralyzing feeling of something that's so big and so overwhelming. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shall allow us to experience true freedom. Again, all of these are freedom too. These are freedom too. We allow ourselves to have that freedom. We're not trying to get away from something. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall allow us to get to each and every one of these ideas. Mirtz Hashem, each and every one of us will feel truly free. And Zman Chayr Seinu, and Abiyachad Kashav Sameach, for us and all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.